This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode Between Life and Death. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. What if a person you love is disappearing before your eyes? Their personality and memory is shrinking. They're becoming less and less like themselves every day. Would they want to live like this? Tanya Ott is facing that situation and reports this story.
My dad was in his mid-60s when he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. What were once quirks became obsessions. Like, he'd hide my mom's purse in the closet because he was worried someone was going to see it through the living room window and break in to steal it. Eventually, he couldn't figure out how to use a telephone. It was a pretty quick decline, and I was losing the smart, funny guy that I loved. So 2 years ago, I took my recorder down to Florida, hoping to talk to him about his life, before the man I knew slipped away for good. I prompted him with questions about growing up on a farm in Iowa, about joining the Air Force during Vietnam. It did not go well.
I don't know.
Okay. It's all good.
No, it's not all. I know some things happen, and I know.
I was trying to connect with him, but it was hard. And a few months later, we moved Dad to a memory care unit. He's still there today. He doesn't even know that my mom died last year. We didn't tell him because we didn't want him to grieve over and over. But her death has each of us in the family thinking about our end and how we'd want to navigate it. Mom had emphysema, and during her last hospitalization, she needed a ventilator. The doctor said that she'd likely never get off the breathing machine. So my mom, who was very lucid at the time, chose to withdraw treatment. My brother, sisters, and I were all with her when she took her last breath. Recently, I gathered my sisters on Skype to talk about all that we've been through in the last year.
I appreciate the fact that Mom chose and had that ability to choose.
That's my sister Danielle Springsteen.
I don't think that Dad would have wanted things to be like they are now.
I think with Dad's situation, it's entirely different.
That's my youngest sister, Krista Ott. She's Dad's healthcare surrogate. She makes all the decisions about his treatment, what to do and what not to do.
He's not competent to make those decisions because sometimes he doesn't even know his own name.
In 6 states and Washington, D.C., a doctor can prescribe drugs that will help a person end their life. We call it physician-assisted suicide or death with dignity. But lots of people have problems with those terms, so experts have started using the phrase medical aid in dying. It's not an option for people with Alzheimer's. And to understand why, you have to understand how medical aid in dying works. First, you have to verbally tell a doctor that you want it. That starts the clock ticking. Within 15 days, you have to find 2 doctors who agree that you're terminally ill, will likely die within 6 months, and are competent. Then you have to write a written request for life-ending medication that has to be witnessed by 2 people. The doctor holds on to the prescription for 48 hours before snail mailing or hand-delivering it to a pharmacy.
When we hand someone life-ending medication, the last official thing we say is, now you do understand, Tanya, that when you drink this, you will fall asleep, you will slip into a coma, and you will die.
That's Sally McLaughlin. She leads End of Life Washington in Seattle.
And the problem is, a person with dementia, you can't be sure they understand that.
Even if a person clearly expressed their wishes back when they were competent, it's complicated. Gregory Pence is a bioethicist at the University of Alabama at Birmingham.
Let's suppose I go a year into my diagnosis, and I'm in a locked unit somewhere, and my family and the staff see someone who likes the Bee Gees, who likes Breyers ice cream, and the person I used to be hated the Bee Gees, didn't really like ice cream. But this looks like a pretty happy person. How could we possibly kill him?
Medical aid in dying is not available to people with Alzheimer's, but ethicist Wendy Walters says some people with dementia find a way to end their life on their terms. Wendy trained as a clinical social worker and spent decades working in hospice. Now she's the clinical ethics consultant for the hospital at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Recently, she reviewed the case of a man diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. He had helped care for his mother-in-law, who also had the disease, and it wasn't the life that he wanted. So he shot himself and was left with massive injuries.
He didn't kill himself. And it became a very large ethical dilemma for the trauma team because family says he would never want to live like this. They want to withdraw life support.
Wendy had to weigh in.
It was going to be multiple surgeries, and he would never be able to eat naturally again. He would have to be able to be tube-fed for the rest of his life.
Ultimately, Wendy allowed the medical team to stop life support. In another case, an older woman with Alzheimer's was reliving the Holocaust, and every moment was terrifying to her. So maybe no physical pain, but certainly extreme emotional pain. Some ethicists and medical professionals are starting to ask whether the healthcare system should offer more options for people with the disease. My sister Krista says she doesn't know if Dad would have chosen medical aid in dying, but she's sure he would have at least wanted the option.
When we have pets and we treat them like our family and we love them and they live in the home with us, when that pet gets to the point where we know that they're suffering, we are deemed cruel if we do not humanely euthanize them. And so often we don't treat our senior citizens or our aging population with that same respect. We hold on to them. We put them through more medical procedures. We put them in uncomfortable lifestyles that they would not choose for themselves. So in a lot of ways, it seems like we give animals a lot more respect, comfort, and care than we do the people in our lives.